Hello, and welcome to the Bethesda podcast feed. It's here you can find all of our recorded services. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. We hope you enjoy.
You know, they were asking me in meeting this morning if I was going to preach it, you know, real short since we got hamburgers. That is exactly what you asked. Whatever. And I'm like, I didn't even preach last week, man. The power of God broke out in this house, and I didn't even preach last week. I got like twice the preaching material this week. And I thought about it. I thought, wouldn't it be funny if, like, I just got up here at the very beginning of service and preached and, like, preached the whole time? And would everybody go home like they did last week? Would they say, man, church was so good this week, we didn't even have worship? That's funny. So we're in the latter house. This is part three, and part three was supposed to be last week. I'm having to shuffle some things around and put some things, kick the can a little bit further down the road, but we're going to get through this, and that's fine. I'm good with that. I'm good. If God will move in the house, that's all we can ask. Lord, have your way in this place. Save people, heal people, deliver people. Bring peace to the troubled. Lord, just do what you do, God. And if that happens in this house, we are definitely winning. Our texts are from Matthew 6, 9 through 13 and Haggai 2 and 9. This is both in the King James. Great to have all the guests in the house. We love y'all. Glad that you are here. Verse 9 of Matthew 6. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And this is where we're focusing today. Give us this day our daily bread. And then verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Haggai 2:9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's say a prayer before you're seated. Father, I thank you for your moving, the moving of your spirit, the anointing of the Lord that's in this place. Help me to speak, anoint me to preach, anoint us to hear in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In this series, we started with our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Spent a lot of time there. God's our Father. His name is holy. And when you've said Jesus, you've said it all. Thy kingdom come. Our God's a king. He has a kingdom. It's not manifested everywhere yet. So he asks us to pray his kingdom into manifestation. And whenever and wherever it does manifest, everything changes. The world is turned upside down. The works of the devil are reversed. And we're to pray his will be done in earth as in heaven, here now. And his will is his word, and his word is his will. And his will and his word is to be imposed upon every other will and word. Not my will, but yours be done. In other words, people need a chance to believe his will and to believe his word and to come into agreement with it. And here at Bethesda Church, we're all about Jesus, people, mission. It's about getting the word, the message of Jesus to people so they can believe it. And we pray and we teach. We will with words, which is one of the definitions of pray. Abara, I will create. Kadabara, as I speak. Abracadabra, I pray. I will and I speak. I will create as I speak. And we teach his word. We teach his will by teaching Bible studies. In the deep fried dirty south, we talked about this. Many think they've come to the end of the road. They know all there is to know about Jesus and what it means to be saved. But I'm convinced that many are hungry for more. Many are hungry for a deeper walk with God and for the glory of the latter house that many of us have experienced. And we have to go and we have to share his will and we have to share his word with other folks. I thank God for 140 commitments to teach into his marvelous light here a couple of weeks ago before Easter. Make sure you get that done. Get it done in Jesus' name. Today we're zooming in on Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. Give us this day our daily bread. You cannot help but beckon back to the Old Testament when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness, and it was tough out there. And they were uncertain about their future, and they were uncertain about what they were going to eat. They said, back in Egypt, we used to eat bread until we were full. Where's that going to come from now? Where's the Logan's Steakhouse? Where I can get some of that melt-in-your-mouth bread and coat the butter all over it, you know what I mean? And where's the Cracker Barrel where I can get that cornbread or those biscuits and I can put the butter all over it and then more butter and then some jelly on the biscuits? And I want the grape jelly, ma'am. All I have is blackberry over here. Get me the grape jelly, please. And you want, make sure you want to get one of those waiters that are waitresses that has the five stars. You know what I mean? The newbie, they don't know what you're talking about. The five star, oh yeah, they got you. Or the bottomless breadsticks, you know, at the Olive Garden coming soon out here by Tanger. Where's the bread? There's no restaurants out there in the wilderness. And, you know, where's the little village? If you know, you know, man. They got that loaf. Oh, my Lord, it's illegal. Izzos think they've got the illegal. No, little village got the illegal on that bread out there, I promise you. There's no restaurants, so they complained. They were really good at that, and they told Moses in Exodus 4, 16 and 4, Exodus 16, they're like, where are we going to eat? How are we going to eat? They're complaining, griping. And in verse 4 of Exodus 16, the Lord said, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. When the dew burned away the next morning, there was manna all over the place. And it was these small, white, round, probably spherical, probably a little ball, like a matzo ball. Like it's compared to coriander seed. And then if you do the other mosaic writings and look back, you put it all together, you're going to see the coriander seed is probably the texture, not necessarily the color. Coriander seed, by the way, is from the same family as cilantro. I did a deep dive on this, way too deep, more than you're interested. I could go on and on. But to me, manna being, you know, like a sphere, that's kind of interesting. And it tasted like bread made with honey. It was a foretaste of the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It reminds me of that smell that comes from bakeries. When you're driving by, you know, a bakery and that smell. You know, when you're going over the bridge, you smell coffee, don't you? But when you're going by a bread store or bread factory, in Alexandria on MacArthur, there used to be a big old Sunbeam bread factory there. And when you go by the bread, like, you just smell it, and it just smells so good. You know, your olfactory senses, that's some of your strongest, most memorable senses. And those smells of baking bread are just awesome. And when I go to the grocery store, here's what I like to get. It's my favorite, and this is maybe a childhood. Where did it go? Oregon. On the Oregon. Okay. No, it's totally gone. Okay, what staff member did this to me? Look, Olivia's leaving right now. Guilty. I see. I got you. Wow. Complete. Thank. Whatever. Thank you. I didn't put it there. I put it on the bench right there. I knew where I put it. So they covered it up in a black sheet. It's dark over there. Okay. Bunny bread right here. Bunny bread. I don't know if it's the best. It just, I think it's the best. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love bunny bread. Oh, it's maybe it's the bunny. I love it. Bunny bread. The smell of baking bread. And then to add honey. Look, I've got some comb honey. Can you see that honeycomb up in that honey jar right there? Sabrina, where are you, Sabrina? So I got this from Marty Hillman. He was at that funeral yesterday, Tony Roberts' funeral, and old Marty gives me, hey, Marty, he's probably going to watch. Hey, Marty, look at this. Here's your comb honey right here. Got this honey, fresh, like amazing. Got some honeycomb in there. So you think about it. He made it rain bread from heaven that's like round. It's sweet. It's like honey. It's this amazing stuff. My Bible tells me every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Man, that was a good and a perfect gift that he gave to them. So when God fed his people, he did so by giving them bread from heaven, and he did it every day. Every day. They got enough bread for that day. They couldn't hoard it for several days' worth, or it would rot. It would go bad. And the Bible says God did this to test them whether they would trust him or not. And on the Sabbath day, they couldn't gather manna. So on the day before the Sabbath, they could gather 2 days' worth. And God made sure they had enough of that out there for them to do. Think about it. 6 days a week, they would go to bed with no food in the pantry. They're going to bed with, we ate it all. There's nothing left. What are we going to eat tomorrow? Well, God's going to provide. How do you know? What if he doesn't show up this time? They had to go to bed and rest and sleep, get up in the morning and trust God for there to be food in that pantry. And then you had the day where they had to trust God that the 2 days' worth wouldn't rot in the pantry. So they had to trust God every day. Manna paints a picture of what the Lord's Prayer really means. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I'm going to trust you to supply my needs every day. If it was up to us, this is how we would pray. God, give me this year my annual provision so I don't have to worry about it. Well, you don't have to worry about it every day. But the tendency is, am I going to trust him every day? Give me this year, Lord. Give me this decade, a decade's worth. I'll get me some storage out here. And I won't have to worry about it. Well, you don't have to worry about it every day. Well, that's just, we struggle with that. Or we would just do the one and done. You know, give me everything I need for the rest of my life. Amen. But Jesus said for us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's a daily prayer for daily provision. We're not used to having to live our lives here in this country every day. For the most part, most of us are not living every day not knowing where the next meal is coming from. I bought this bunny bread right over here at Rouse's. I got a picture. When I walked in there, I hear some groans right there. Now, I look at this and I'm like, wow, they got a shortage. This must be COVID, you know. There's some kind of shortage going on. But truthfully, there's a bunch of bread right there. And that's just the bread. There's food all over that. We're not used to having to hope that we have something to eat every day. But listen, we don't need to take it for granted. Every day, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Do you think that that's your air that you're breathing? Do you think this is your planet that you're standing on? Do you think that's your sun that's warming and beaming down on you? Do you think that that's your money in your bank account? Do you think that that's your health that you're enjoying right now, or that breath right? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. He is our source every single day, and we've got to trust him. He's God. He's our Father. He's our protector. He's our provider. Come on, give him praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In America, when one spouse is working and the other's not, he or she that's working is said to be the breadwinner. Or the spouse that brings home the most money is called the primary breadwinner. Bread is idiomatic of money, provision. God is our breadwinner. And we have to trust him every day to rain bread upon us. Now, they had to go gather it. It's not like we don't have a job to do. We don't work or do what's required of us. My Bible does say, if a man doesn't work, neither let him eat. As believers, we have to understand, though, our job is not our source. God is our source. Our gifts and talents are not our source. God is our source. He's our provider. That's why we pray and ask him, give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't say, let the poor man or let the unskilled laborer, let him pray this. It's the rich man. It's the highly intelligent, highly gifted woman. It's the doctor, the lawyer. It's those who are unemployed. It's all across the spectrum. Give us this day our daily bread. You're going to have to be the one that rains the bread from heaven upon me. We have to pray it. Give us this day. John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you will, it shall be done. Abide. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, it speaks of relationship. I'm needing you, God. I am asking you, God. I abide in you. I don't abide in this world system. I don't abide in my career. I don't abide in my gifts and talents. I abide in you. And I'm asking you, supply my need. Interestingly, we're to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. And then, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then, give us this day our daily bread. Later in Matthew 6, Jesus lays it out in the same order. Verses 31 through 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, the uncovenanted, those not in a relationship with God, they seek after these. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, bread, what you eat, drink, wear, shall be added unto you. As we put his business first, he puts our business first. As we put our relationship with him first and his kingdom, we make that our priority. He makes our provision his priority. There's something about prioritizing and getting him in the proper place, getting God in the proper place and walking with God. And to walk with God is to walk in his word. I can't say I'm walking with God, but I'm not listening to God. I'm not hearing God. I'm walking with God, but I'm not doing what he pleases. I'm walking with God, but I'm not hearing, I'm not heeding his word. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Hearing and obeying the word unlocks the windows of heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Walking with God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Our Father in heaven, give us this day. Walking in his word, walking in obedience, it unlocks the windows of heaven. Isn't that what Malachi 3 says? Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. God said, if you'll put my house first, then I'll put your house first. That's why we tithe and give offerings. It's part of our relationship with God. It's this continual trust, proving once again, I'm trusting you for my daily bread. I've had conversations with many of you, and you've told me, Pastor, I stepped up in that arena. I stepped up in that area. Somebody told me recently, they said, you know, I'm tithing on the gross and not the net because I felt convicted and I saw to do this, and it's made a difference in my life. Now, you can do it how you feel convicted to do it, but when you put God first, when you put God first, it's amazing what happens when you do that. That continual trust, you prove Him again and again to be faithful. He's first place, and He's going to prove to you, I am first place, and I'm faithful. Watch this. That promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. We got to quit trying to think that I can earn this, I can get this, I deserve this, I'm something, and we're trying to prove ourselves. Go to the Lord in secret and say, God, this is what I'm looking for, and I'm asking you, God, give me favor in Jesus' name, and watch what God does. You believe me? Well, He's our Jehovah Jireh. He's our El Shaddai. The former house is us not putting God first. The latter house is us putting God first. And the glory of the latter is greater than that of the former. Won't you give God some praise right now just for His faithfulness in your life? Come on. I thank you, God. But there's always a spiritual application. Daily bread is not just money and physical provision. But John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And last time I checked, Jesus ain't in my wallet. He ain't cash. He ain't a credit card. He's not stocks and bonds. He's not a 401k. He's not an IRA. He's not cryptocurrency. But Jesus is the what and the who that satisfies the hungry soul. He's God's manna from heaven. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son as the bread of life. In Mark 8, Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, fills up on all the garbage of this world, and loses his soul? We used to sing an old song, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And it's so true. The word itself, the Bible, is called bread. Matthew 4:4, Jesus alludes to this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but he's going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. In Zechariah 15:1, Zechariah was told to eat the word. It was a flying roll. Reminds me of Lambert's. Anybody ever been to Lambert's? Eat that roll. Zechariah, there you go. The psalmist said in Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 107:20, He sent His word and healed them. It's something we feast upon. It's milk, it's meat, it's bread. It's the basics, the staples of the Christian diet. Isaiah 28 speaks about line upon line and precept upon precept. Our feelings are like candy. We're asking you to bring these candy-filled Easter eggs. And, you know, one of my kryptonites, I got a few. One of my kryptonites, I got a picture of it. It's these Reese's. I'm like Pavlov's dogs, you know, at the checkout. I'm like, well, what's that noise? Those are Donovan. It's the guy behind me drooling. What's wrong with this guy? I'm looking at those Reese's eggs, trying not to. Oh, man, they're just so good. And, you know, and Valerie, she loves me. She loves me, so she'll buy me, like, giant ones, you know. So, like, you know, Valentine's Day, giant Reese's heart, you know. And I'm like bougie with it. I get a knife out. You know, it's like caviar. Like, just so good, you know. My dentist loves it when I eat all those things. But here's the deal. They're deceptive. They make us feel full. But, man, they do not give us the nutritional value that our body craves, right? I mean, it's like, oh, that's not. Our own opinions are like bubble gum. Now, I went back when I was a kid, me and my cousin Randy, riding our horses on I-20, going to Kelly's truck stop, walking in. Not only did we get moon pies and RC, but we also got bubble yum, bubble gum. Anybody remember bubble yum, bubble gum? And the grape right there, oh, look at that, 20 cents. Oh, my Lord. Right now, that'd be like $4.95 at racetrack, you know. Bubble yum, artificially flavored, don't care about that. Grape bubble gum. Man, you're chewing that. And we, you know, we want big bubbles. So we like couple pieces, three pieces, you know, like blow the gigantic bubble, five pieces, right? Just, I mean, you're trying to blow big bubbles. But here's the deal. You chew and chew and chew, and it really never satisfies. And then eventually the sweetness goes away, and you're just chomping and getting, you know, lockjaw from chewing so hard. It doesn't bring you the satisfaction that you really thought it might. But in Matthew 24, Jesus said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word won't. So this world, it's like a Reese's. This world, in my own opinions, like bubble yum. But God's word never passes away, and it sustains, it empowers, it causes us to grow and to remain and to be effective. Come on now, that's why we teach the word and preach the word. That's why I encourage you, teach Bible studies. That's what I do. I listen and learn more as I teach than when I teach and preach. I learn as I'm doing it. And I listen to Bible teachers and preachers every day, and I read the Bible every day and books about the Bible every day. And the reason why Joshua said this, and I'm almost done, but he said this. The Lord said to Joshua, verse 7 of chapter 1, only be strong and very courageous so you can observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. How do I do that? Here's how you do it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. What is he saying? He's saying, I want you to look at it. I want you to talk it. I want you to recite it. I want you to just mumble it over and over. Meditate. That's what it means. Meditate on it. Chew on it. Get it in your spirit. We've got to spend time in the Word, listening to the Word. We've got these apps now, man. Just put the audio Bible on. Listen while you're getting ready for work. Listen while you're at work if you're able to. Listen going down the road. Listen to Bible teaching and preaching. Listen to the podcast from the church. Listen to preaching and sermons. Listen to others. Get in the Word, because if you'll do it, you'll chew on it and you'll learn things that will give you a prosperity and a blessing that you couldn't get anywhere else, that will give you a success that you'll never get from Dale Carnegie, or you won't get from LSU, or you won't get from a Harvard grad class. You won't get it from those places, but you'll get it from the Word of God. Give us this day our daily bread. Trust God to do that in Jesus' name. He cares about it. And so we pray for the spiritual provision as well. Today, don't harden your hearts, but hear and obey the word. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Psalm 22 is the psalm of the crucified Lord. Psalm 24, the resurrected Lord. And Psalm 22 is probably quoted by Jesus on the cross. He ends with, it is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. That 24th psalm is a lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. It's the resurrected Christ. But Psalm 23, today. That was yesterday. That's tomorrow, but today the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Give us this day our daily bread. Check this out. Are you with me? Isn't this exciting? If our musicians would come. Jesus was born in what town? Do you know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. I like to fool James over here. House of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. Check this out. It's first mentioned in Genesis 35:19 as being the place where Rachel was buried. That's ironic, because what do we do after the funeral? Do we ever eat? We laugh and cut up and talk about the fond memories. We cry together all over a plate of chicken and dumplings or jambalaya. Always bread on the side. Bethlehem. This is the first time it's mentioned. Mentioned with a funeral. And Isaiah 58, 6 through 7 speaks of a supply house, a house of bread. Bethlehem's located 5 miles south of Jerusalem, if you stand with me. So that's like, you know, if you took 10 from Dixie Landing, Blue Bayou up here, came out to 173, exit 173, Highway 73, about 5 miles. That's the distance from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Bethlehem is Jerusalem Metro, like Prairieville is Baton Rouge Metro. Jerusalem and Bethlehem are each a type of the church. Part of the church's job is to be a place of worship and ministry. Part of our job is to be a house of bread. In the book of Ruth, we find that Naomi lived in Bethlehem, the house of bread. But there was a famine in the land. Think about that. A famine in the house of bread. It is possible to have famine in the house of the Lord, the house of bread. But during the famine, Naomi and her family left the house of bread and moved to Moab. To me, that's like moving to Hershey, Pennsylvania. They had a candy factory in Moab. Twisted, non-nutritional. Moab is founded by Lot and his daughters. It's a mess. And while there, Naomi lost everything, even though there wasn't a famine in Moab. She lost everything. And finally moved back to the house of bread where there had been a famine. A famine in the house of bread is better than abundance in the house of Moab. If you'll stay in a church that serves the bread of life, and I might add the whole counsel of God, even when its resources are limited, even when it's not firing on all cylinders, you'll be better off than moving to a church that serves cotton candy. And you can find one of those much easier than you can imagine. Leaves out the nutritious, life-giving parts of the word. A preacher that's too scared to tell you the truth. A church that serves up a lot of fluff, but not a whole lot of substance, will leave you famished, and you'll shrink, and you'll not grow, and you'll lose, and you'll not gain. Naomi said when she was in Bethlehem, the house of bread, even though there was a famine, she said, when I left full. She was full in the house of bread, even though it was a famine. But when she left Moab, a place that was not in a famine, she said it herself, I left empty and I left bitter. Because Moab's bread was lacking. It was like candy. You hear what I'm saying? When the preaching's not up to snuff, when the worship's not really firing on all cylinders and kicking, when the resources are low and slow, if that ministry is faithful to the word and that ministry is trying to feed the flock from God's word, the blessing of the Lord is going to fall on that house, and it's only a matter of time. The abundance is there and will be there more so if they'll stay faithful in Jesus' name. Come on, give God some praise for that. I believe that with all my heart.
Thank you for joining us. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. You can also visit us in person at 15050 Daigle Road, Prairieville, Louisiana. Services are at 10 a.m. Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday.